direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I know you've been waiting for this because you're lining up already. So Stacey, Eduardo, Valerie, hang on. We will get to you before the hour is out. Well, maybe. But I'm going to hog Julie Ryan for a while because I got a lot of questions. And by the way, if you followed my advice, you've already found her online. In fact, she just finished a podcast live moments ago. And if you didn't hear it online, if for some reason you're not online, but you are in Chicago, hey, WCGO 7 to 8, that's 1590 AM. Okay, so with that in mind, I don't think there's a problem saying that. Well, I hope not anyway. Julie, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thanks, Raleigh. What a treat to be with you. Happy New Year.
You too. You too. I don't know where you get the energy. You just finished doing your own show. Thank you for this.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, as I said, I've got questions. Because last time I showed you off, and people are still talking about it, and of course they're lining up. But what fascinates me most, although it's hard to pick one aspect of you, but is that you came into, as you say, the woo-woo, psychic phenomena, later in life. You didn't grow up feeling that you had a great deal of intuition or whatever. So, given that you are awfully accomplished, and in fact, your devices are patented and still in surgeries to this day. What on earth caused you to say, and I think I'll become a psychic?
Well, it didn't quite happen like that. You're right. I laugh. I say I didn't have dead people chasing me as a child, or if I did, I didn't know it, let alone what I would have done with that information. But I was given a book called Anatomy of the Spirit from a friend for my birthday one year, about 30 years ago, and I read it, and this woman called herself a medical intuitive. And I thought, what the heck is that? I'd never heard that term before. And I was, to your point earlier, I am an inventor of surgical devices sold throughout the world, and I was in the hospital supply industry for 30 years. Yeah. And so I wanted to know more. And back then, we didn't have the internet yet.
Right.
So I did the old-fashioned thing, Raleigh, and I went to a bookstore. I went to a Barnes & Noble and found a book by a former NASA physicist named Barbara Brennan. The book's called Hands of Light. And she took very complex quantum physics concepts and parlayed them into understandable English for the non-scientific mind. That would be me. And I learned through her that it was possible to facilitate energetic healings that were complementary to Eastern and Western medicine as we know it. And that's what I learned how to do, and that's what I teach people how to do now. So it's all part of the healing equation in my book.
When you got, and I know anatomy, that's Carolyn Mice, who's a Chicagoan,
right.
Actually.
That's right.
When you picked up that book, and of course, you know, here you are, you're interested in reading, who isn't? I'm sure it still hadn't occurred to you that maybe I'm going to put this to use. At what point did you say, hey, there's something in this that I can actually do?
Well, I studied this modality by this former NASA physicist. I studied it for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I paid the equivalent of what I would have paid to get an MD or a PhD.
I'm sure.
And even then, people were saying to me, what are you going to do with this? Why are you doing this? I said, I don't know. I have no idea.
Right.
And fast forward, I sold my surgical device manufacturing company in 2015. Still have another couple of companies running. And I thought, okay, what am I going to do now? And I was led to do this. I don't have a plan. People say to me, what are your goals? I said, I don't know. I don't have any.
No,
I just
you
go where I'm
any.
Led.
Yeah.
And it's developed into where it is now, and it keeps expanding. It's been really a fun journey and continues to be.
I know you teach this as well, and at AskJulieRyan.com, people can see. In fact, I think you've got a course that's open now for registration. But I think the hardest thing for anybody who didn't see dead people when they were children, who didn't have any, as far as they knew, innate talent, is believing what you get. When you start to investigate this and you start to do some of the experiments and all that, at what point do you throw, you know, doubt out the window and say, hey, there's something to this?
Well, I think we all utilize intuitive abilities. We all come in with them. Everybody's born with them. And we've all had situations where we think of somebody and we either run into them or we get a text or an email or a phone call from them and we say, oh my gosh, what a coincidence. Well, there's no coincidence. That is intuitive abilities. And then when we learn some different techniques and learn how to raise our vibrational level and get information that helps validate it, it helps us trust it. I don't know that anybody 100% of the time, Raleigh, and I've done this with tens of thousands of people over the years, especially since I've been doing it full time for the past 5 years. I there are still times when I get information. May I tell you a quick example?
Yeah.
I was talking to a client in Boston, and her parents had both passed, and she had their ashes. And she said, I don't know what to do with them. Can we ask them what they want us to do with their ashes? And so we got her parents on the line and her deceased parents, and they said they wanted them scattered in Yosemite National Park. And I thought, that doesn't make any sense. This girl lives in Boston. So I don't edit anything I get. So I said to her, your parents want their ashes scattered at Yosemite. And she gasped, and I said, what? And she said, that's where they were married.
Whoa.
I said, okay. I mean, I have endless stories like that. I had a gal yesterday who lost her dad a few months ago, and she said, can he send me a sign? And he, his spirit said, yeah, whenever she sees a toad, that's coming from him. And she said, toads? I said, no, toads, like baby frogs. And she started laughing. And I said, what? And she said, when he died, there was a toad stuck to my front door. Whoa. And he wouldn't leave for the longest time. And I said, well, that was a sign from your dad. You just didn't know it yet. I have endless stories like that.
Yeah. Which is great. And of course, over time, I can see you become even more confident in what you're getting. But it's still, for most of us, I think that's the hardest thing to say, hey, I really can connect. Because of course, we're kind of taught societally that, you know, you leave the dead alone and you can't do this. And so the idea that here you are from Columbus, Ohio, you know, go to the Ohio State University and all this, and next thing you know, you're a psychic. How'd your relatives take that?
Well, they thought I was nuts. They kept saying, why are you doing this? And I said, I don't know. I it's just interesting to me. And my older brother gave me the most grief, Raleigh. And then one day I got a phone call from him one evening, and he said his best friend had a stroke and was in surgery. They were removing part of his skull because his brain was so swelling so badly. They were trying to make room for it. And he said, do your thing.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay. And so I communicated telepathically with his friend, Tim is his name. And I didn't think he'd make it out of the operating room based on what I was seeing. The phases of transition, and we can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
He gave me information to give to his father, to Tim's dad, who was in the waiting room with my brother. So my brother gave him the information that his dad turned ashen, and he said, what's the matter? And he said, there's no way you would have known that, because that was only Tim and I knew this information. They're working on some big deal. And so that helped him know that, okay, there's more to the story than meets the eye here.
Great. Great story. There's another thing about timing that I find, especially with regard to the medical intuition, because right now it seems that allopathic medicine is kind of at an all-time low. Maybe doctors have a handle on what are the well-defined things, but so many ailments are elusive, and people are not getting diagnoses. And I assume that a lot of the people who are contacting you are contacting you as much for clarity as healing. Like, what's wrong with me?
Oh, absolutely. Several people a week that I talk to, I would say a huge percentage of them have been to multiple doctors and gotten multiple diagnoses, and some have had multiple suggested treatment plans, and they still have the same symptoms.
Yeah.
And Lyme is a great example. Lyme, a huge percentage of the time, Raleigh, is misdiagnosed mold exposure. Huge percentage, like 90-some%. And it presents like Lyme,
right.
And then they go on a whole bunch of antibiotics, and it makes the mold exposure even worse.
Exactly.
So I can get somebody on my radar, and I'm like a human MRI. I can see what's going on, and then help facilitate healing.
Which is just terrific. And you mentioned the Lyme thing. That happened to me about over 20 years ago. I was living in a house with toxic mold, didn't know it, and I stopped walking. It was a year before they figured out it wasn't lupus, it wasn't Lyme, and on. Nobody thinks in terms of toxic mold, but it's increasingly a problem. So that's terrific. We're talking to Julie Ryan, and I'd give you the phone number, except, and I will take your calls, but right now every line on this place is lit. So you can go to AskJulieRyan.com at any time. And of course, you can hear the podcast, and you can even hear the past podcasts, as well as on our YouTube channel. I've got all those links on Raleigh.net, Raleigh.net. So 888, I am giving the phone number, it's habit, 888-876-5593. But don't call now. However, hopefully before the end of the hour, or if not, we'll impress on Julie for the need to come back right here on WGN Radio.
You know it's hard to love another man's girlfriend. You can't see her when you want to. You got to see her when you can. You may be fighting a losing battle, but you'll have so much fun. Yes, you will, trying to win. I thought it over about what I should do, and I found out a one-way love affair ain't no good for two.
It's a soap opera and a song. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Johnny Adams. It was his first chart record, Losing Battle, 1962 on Rick. Got to number 27 on the R&B charts. Rick, of course, a Detroit label. Not sure how that came about, because Johnny was certainly a product of New Orleans. In fact, Dr. John, the Night Tripper, Mac Rebennack, wrote that. And since then, of course, many, many wonderful hits, but no longer with us. Died in 98 in Baton Rouge, 66 years old. So, yeah, my favorite, of course, I Won't Cry. Yeah, we usually play that every year on his birthday, but I figured I'd try Losing Battle today. We're talking to Julie Ryan, AskJulieRyan.com. Check it out if you haven't. And this woman knows all, and certainly can see all. And before I get to that, I have to ask.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get a glimpse of all anyway. I have to ask, since you do have formidable psychic skills, here we are in the brand new year. Not to make it a political show, but what's coming up this year?
Oh, I think that we are creating. I think that's why we all incarnate, is to create. And there's lots of things to create. We create all day, every day. And when we know what we don't want, it helps us create what we do want. And so lots of creations are happening. People say, oh, we've never been more divided in this country before. And I like to say, have you ever heard of the Civil War? I think we just get inundated 24/7 with all kinds of political stuff and other stuff, and we think it's worse than it's ever been, but it's not. It's just back then they didn't have the technology that we have, so they weren't hearing about it 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that you say create, of course, because at the heart, when we get back to medical intuition, of all of what ails us, on some level, we're creating it. And that's a dangerous thing to say, because I think some people think that that means if they think differently, it will be differently, or somehow they're to blame. But on some level, and I get this a lot from your show, everything we manifest, we're aware on a soul level of what's going on.
Exactly. And if you think about it, our thoughts create our reality. If you think something, all thoughts have an energy frequency to them, Raleigh. So it's like we're on that radio station of those thoughts coming in, and then more thoughts come in, and then you resonate with that, and that's the frequency that you attract. But the body's going to follow what the brain shows it, even if the brain doesn't believe it to be true. And an example of that is, think of a time when you watched a scary movie on TV. Well, your brain knew it was pretend, but your heart might have felt like it was getting ready to jump out of your chest because it was just so darn scary.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a great example of what happens. And I'm interested in you saying that you couldn't walk for a year because you were living in a toxic, mold-filled home.
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped walking.
Wow.
And it was one of those things where, you know, I was there about 3 months when I started to have problems with my knees. And, of course, John said, oh, you're a drama queen. And I said, yeah, but what started to happen is I lost the ability to transfer. And you know what I mean. If you're lying down, you can't get up on your own. If you're sitting down, you can't get out of the chair on your own. Somebody has to lift you. And
wow.
So, yeah, it was at that point. And, of course, I've always been the autoimmune queen, so all the doctors wanted to immediately blame every autoimmune, things I'd never heard of before, and I thought I heard them all. And then, unfortunately, someone was convinced it was Lyme. And you talk about those antibiotics because, of course, that completely threw off my system. To the point, I always had an issue with candida before. Well, now I was the fertilizer for it. And of course, you'd bring this up to doctors, and that's nothing. You know, is the answer. And finally, what had happened that gave us a clue is we went away, and we were in Toronto, actually. And within a week, I started to have some mobility. And John noticed that, and he said, hey, you know, you moved, basically. You did something. And got back, and unfortunately couldn't leave for a couple of months because I did the show from this location, so I was stuck. When I got back, within 2 days, I was just terrible again. And then when we finally left, it took me 6 months of physical therapy.
Wow.
So, and that was toxic mold. And, you know, I should have been aware, and that's to anybody who's encountered this. You know, I moved a mirror from the wall in this house, and it looked like just a sheet of black velvet behind it. And so, of course, I don't have a mask, but I've got a bottle of Clorox. And, of course, I wiped this whole thing down, you know, breathing every spore in the world in there. And I had spore diseases from a previous disaster. And so it didn't occur to me that that was it. But increasingly, people face toxins.
Well, a couple of points on the mold. First of all, Clorox is not good to use on mold because it's mostly water.
Right.
And when you use it on a porous surface like drywall, it just makes the mold worse. You're better off using hydrogen peroxide. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, only 30% of the population, and I'm one of them like you, we're like canaries in the coal mine for mold. I can walk in a room, and in a nanosecond, I can tell you if there's a mold issue there. And my husband's oblivious, as John was, too. He wasn't affected.
Right.
So it's very common for multiple people to live in a home, and only one is affected, and the others are saying, well, I'm not smelling anything. I'm not having any symptoms.
Right.
Well, that doesn't mean it isn't there. It just means you're not super sensitive to it.
Exactly. And that's exactly where we're going to pick it up, because I think we're talking about something that affects more people than you might realize. And these are all the things, the elusive things where you say, I don't know why I'm hurting. And I will take some calls. I promise. I won't hog Julie all night. But if you haven't, go to askjulie.com and listen to some of the podcasts. I mean, after we're done with this show, of course. All that and more coming up. But we're going to check out what's going on in the world at large from the WGN Radio Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Oh, babe. 17, we fell in love, high school sweetheart. Love was so brand new. We took the vows of man and wife, forever for life. I remember how we made our way, a little patience, the time we prayed. Can't imagine that this love is through. Feeling the pain, boy, when you lose, because it's too hot.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Cool in the Gang, Too Hot, 1980. Delight, number 3 on the R&B charts, 5 on the pop charts, and right after number 1 in the 80s nights. And George Brown, the drummer for Cool, turned 74 today, born in Jersey City in 49. He's not only still with us, he's still performing. Cool in the Gang will be in Tulsa on February 3rd, Austin the following day. So we're talking to Julie Ryan, AskJulieRyan.com. And so many things, but I just feel I can feel it in my bones, Julie, that people are saying to me, come on, we got questions. Are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we'll kick it off with Stacy in Algonquin. All right, Stacy.
Hi, Raleigh. Hi, Julie.
So hi, Stacy.
What's
hi.
Up?
Well, I was wondering, I have diabetes, and I have, like, you know, for my parents, arthritis, bursitis. And I just want to know, I know the last doctor visit, he said, you know, like I was better and everything. I just want to know if you could see anything else that I should, I mean, I just lost my husband 11 months ago, and I've been, you know, walking around and everything, but I just want to know if you can see anything else that's going on.
Sure, absolutely. So how this works, Stacy, is I raise my vibrational level to the level of spirit. I'm going to watch a laser beam come from my body. It's going to hook into yours. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. So southeast, sweet, you know, deep south here. And then it'll be like I have a hologram of you in my mind's eye. I'm a sheet energy through you. Something's going to be identified, and then there'll be some type of a healing that will happen. So here we go. Comes my okay. laser beam from Sweet Home, Alabama, heading up to you. Okay, got you. Shooting energy from your feet up through the top of your head. I can tell you have diabetes because you know that candy that has sugar coating on it, like those fruit slices that have sugar on them, or a sugared berry or something you'll see at the holidays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what's going on there. Are you a type 2 diabetic? Are you on some medicine for that? Are you on insulin? What are you doing?
I take insulin.
Okay, you do. All right. So you're type 2?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple of books. What I'm doing is I'm working on your pancreas right now while I'm watching a healing in my head. I'm getting what I call divine downloads, and I'm talking with you. So good thing we're girls because we can multitask. It's one of our superpowers as females. And so I'm doing that. A couple of books for you to check out. First one is called Why We Get Sick, Stacy, by a guy named Ben Bickman. He's a research scientist at Brigham Young in Utah, and he talks about it's not our blood sugar levels, it's our insulin levels,
mm-hmm.
and how the doctors are checking the wrong thing.
Okay.
So you want to check that out. The arthritis, the diabetes, all that stuff is all coming from the gut, has to do with diet. You can reverse all of this by changing your diet, tweaking it a little bit. And if you send me a note, go to my website, AskJulieRyan.com. Go to the Ask Julie page and say, hey, I talked to you on Raleigh's show last night. I'd like a link to the gut biome test. And it's a poop test that you do at home. You don't need a doctor's orders. And it's going to tell you what are going to be the best foods for you to eat based on your gut biome, just the ecosystem mm-hmm. in your gut. And a lot of the time we eat foods that we think are healthy, but they're just not healthy for us
mm-hmm.
right now.
Uh-huh.
So that would be option number one. Option number two, the second thing for you to check out is when you're eating your food, be cognizant of the sequence that you're eating. You want to eat vegetables first. because it adds fiber to your GI tract, kind of like a netting. And then you want to eat protein and fat, because then that coats the fiber. And then eat any carbs last, because you're going to have less of an insulin spike.
Okay.
And so another book for you to check out is called Glucose Revolution.
All right.
Glucose Revolution. And so do your best to stay low on the food chain. Anything that's processed, you want to try and avoid as much as you can. And that's the arthritis is primarily coming from your gut. Most people think that it's just in the joints and it's hereditary. It's not. It's behavioral.
All right.
So if you can get your gut healthy, that will help.
Excellent, Stacey. Keep me posted. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's it's fascinating how much control we have, but when you start telling people to change their diet, you get a lot of resistance to say the least. But I'm going to put links on Raleigh.net to all you've mentioned here, including the books, because I think it is important. All right, so what do we have with, let's see, Eduardo in Midway. So Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio. Eduardo, did you give up on us already? Mm-mm-mm. I guess so. All right, Valerie in Warrensville. Welcome, Valerie.
Hello, Raleigh. Hello. Oh, man, there goes again. Hello, my dear. How are you doing?
Don't worry about us. Let's talk about you. What's your question?
Well, we're going to go take a left turn, because it's me, and talk about past lives.
Oh.
Ooh, fun.
All right. So what in particular do you want to know about your past lives?
How many does she think I have, and what's pertinent to this lifetime?
1,217, I get, you've lived. And do you have a question in particular about past lives? Because we're not going to live long enough to discuss all your past lives.
Right. Yeah, well, 1,217, you betcha. So, yeah, is there anything
what
that you fight now?
What is most important about karma dealing in this life with past lives?
Well, it's still pretty general.
It's interesting
what's
you bring that up.
Pertinent lesson,
Valerie, is karma is not anything that's a punishment. And that's how it's been portrayed a lot of the time. Karma is, we're just exploring a script through multiple lifetimes, looking at it from a different perspective, different time, different gender, different location, different set of circumstances, same semblance of a script. In each time we explore an experience that our spirit expands. And so it's a lot of people say, well, I had somebody call into my show tonight and say, well, you know, do I have this karma if somebody commits suicide in this lifetime? Or are they going to get it triple whammy the next lifetime? And that's not how it works. It's just exploring something that's a similar script.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess, Valerie, if you don't have a specific issue, probably takes too long to kind of ferret through everything. So if there's something where you're saying, hey, I keep, you know, keep running into this, well, then that's a clue. So if you're not...
The star-crossed...
Star-crossed
ex-fiance.
What?
Ex-fiance.
Oh, ex-fiance.
I've got a star-crossed ex-fiance in this life. Is there ever going to be a resolve for that, or is that just going to keep on rolling?
I get that you've been in 712 lifetimes with that ex-fiance in different roles.
Oh, my God.
Parents,
okay.
Siblings, children, whatever. And and when you get to heaven, you guys are going to laugh and you're going to go, oh, you played such a good role. You were such a bad guy. You did a great job. You deserve an Academy Award. And you're going to laugh.
Wow.
Because we're all playing a role. Yeah.
That's great. All right. Well, keep it in mind, Valerie. Stay off the stage. Appreciate it. All right.
I don't have to. I'm already on the stage, dear.
Well, you might want to retire that. So in any event, Julie, one of the things that I keep coming back to, and maybe you've found a way to understand this on the earth plane, is that time is not linear on the other side. In fact, that there is no sense of time, that everything is happening simultaneously, so to speak. So of these 1,217 lives that Valerie lived, is she experiencing them all at once on the other side?
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes my head want to explode, probably, when we think, okay, we're living all these lives concurrently. The only analogy that I've come up with so far, and I heard this from somebody else, was if you think about when we look at a star, and the astronomers will say, okay, that's like 100 million light years away. Mm-hmm. You think about over those 100 million years, that light was visible. And it's all concurrent. That's the closest thing that I've heard that I can get to with the concept of living all these lifetimes at the same time. The other interesting point to that is that we can go in the future, but future events are fluid because there are a bazillion variables that can come in to affect an outcome. So we can give you, okay, here's what we're getting right now, maybe different tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But things that are happening right now and things that have happened in the past, we can go access them at any given moment. And so that also plays in with lots of lifetimes happening at the same time. But past lives are really fun because oftentimes we can get historical information that we can validate with documentation, either online or, you know, in archives somewhere.
Yeah, that is my favorite part. You know, kids who are recalling past lives, and then you look up the addresses or the places, and it's just as the three-year-old is saying, and it's always fascinating. But yes, when we look at the future now, I don't care who the psychic is, you're looking at a line extension, and it is fluid, so that may or may not occur, depending on a lot of different variables. So I get that, but you mentioned the star analogy, and I tend to agree wholeheartedly, because when we hear about, you know, aliens and people from other planets, and I think that the distance and the time it would take, I say to myself, well, they're not going the long way, because they'd still be going, you know, lifetimes later. So there's got to be something about bending time as we know it that some people have figured out.
Well, wormholes are a real thing. Mm-hmm. Astronomers talk about wormholes. Right. And when somebody is dying, I'll do this exercise with them, and so are my graduates of my classes, and we call it the walk to heaven. And we go through this dress rehearsal of what's going to happen when the body and the spirit separate, and we go through a wormhole to get to heaven. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, wow.
So I know there is some kind of a time travel thing where we do go through no linear time to get to heaven. It's really fascinating.
Oh, it is. And we're going to talk about the stages of death as well coming up. And yes, I haven't forgotten you, Leah or Stephanie or Ruth. And so hopefully the hour won't end too soon. But in the meantime, I'm not even going to give the phone number out. All right. Because I think that'll wrap it up. But you can go to AskJulieRyan.com and you can listen to the past shows and you can actually sign up for a reading. But be patient, because it's usually months out. Although there are cancellations from time to time, and you can maybe zoom in there and get one of those. So there I am. I tell you, Pavlov's dogs and me have a lot in common. So we'll pick it up there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, and that, of course, the Parliaments, plural. Don't Be Sore at Me, 1967 on Revelet. has to be the best lyric in R&B music history. My anger clouded my judgment, and I saw a red flash. Then my mouth wrote a check that my heart couldn't cash. Yes! Well, Grady Thomas from the Parliaments, and of course they later did become Parliament and Funkadelic, is celebrating a birthday, and he's still with us. Turns 82 years old today. Born in Newark in 1941. Sadly, founding members Ray Davis and Calvin Simons are no longer with us. But as far as George Clinton, well, you know that he's around. And so is Fuzzy Haskins, but he doesn't perform anymore. We're talking to Julie Ryan, AskJulieRyan.com. Check it out. You can hear all the podcasts. And I got a lot of people hanging on. But, of course, I'm debating whether we should go through the stages of death or save that for next time. What's your pleasure, Julie?
Well, I think we can start talking about it now and then maybe expand on it next time.
Okay.
Would be my preference. The 12 phases of transition, Raleigh, are a sequence of events that we all go through as we're dying, and we're surrounded by angels and the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets, and we start off with our spirit exiting our body through the top of the head, and it hangs on to the top of the head, looks like a cartoon caption bubble. Mm-hmm. And then the deceased parents come in. If they're still alive, the person who's dying, if their parents are still alive, it will be the deceased grandparents on the maternal side. It's always on the maternal side, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And then the mom runs the show from the spirit world, the mother of the maternal spirit. Again, always on the maternal side. And they call in the angels, and she calls in the deceased loved ones and the spirits of deceased pets. It's fascinating to watch. I can scan somebody anywhere in the world who people think they might be dying, and I can tell you what phase of transition they're in. And that gives us clues as far as timing goes to help people be there if they want to be there, their loved ones.
Now, is this a thing where these stages don't vary? The particulars will, such as who the players are, but as far as the sequence and what happens, that this is an absolute for all of us?
It is an absolute, yes. And there are times when people can go back and forth in the phases. For instance, I had a woman call my show this evening, and her grandson is in the hospital on the other side of the country, and 17, drug overdose.
Ugh.
And he was in phase 7 of 12. Well, that's not what she wanted to hear.
Of course
but
not.
This child had a pretty severe drug addiction, and obviously a very severe drug addiction. And I said to her, I don't edit anything I get, because I believe it's spirit working through me and with me, and who am I to decide what you need to hear? Everything's healable. So I told her, it just because he's in phase 7 doesn't mean he's going to pass. He can go further. He can progress. He can come completely out of it. Like I used the example of my brother and his friend, Tim. He had a stroke. I didn't think he'd make it out of the operating room. 15 years later, he's just fine. He's up moving around.
That's great.
For 15 years. Yeah. So it just gives us some help to be able to help with the family, you know, to give them some clarity and some direction. I always ask somebody when they're dying, I ask their spirit, even if they can't communicate verbally anymore, I always ask them telepathically, are you ready to go? Mm-hmm. Are you in pain? What do you need? And I'll get just this whole plethora of answers.
Wow.
And can get people their wishes. Do I have time for a quick story?
Absolutely.
I was working with a woman whose husband was dying in Athens, Greece, and I was in Alabama and at my home here in Birmingham. And I was working with this woman, and her husband had been comatose for a while, and he was on death's doorknob, knocking on death's door. And I asked him, what do you need? And he said, I need to talk to my sister, or I need to see my sister, is what he said. And so I told her this, and I said, can you bring his sister over? Has he seen his sister? And she said, no, she lives in Australia.
Oh.
And I said, well, get her on the Zoom or FaceTime or something. And they did. And then he passed shortly thereafter. So being able to facilitate people's last requests is really something quite profound, I find, and humbling at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. It's, those kind of stories are just downright chilling in the positive sense. All right, I got a minute left, and I defer to first-time callers, so I know Leah and Stephanie and Ruth are going to beat up on me later. But Kathy gets the minute, so sorry to be this quick, Kathy, but go for it.
Hello. Really quickly, I have a terminal condition, and I also care for a 90-year-old mother. My concern is whether or not I'll be able to continue caring for her until her death, or do I have to start making arrangements for her care if I pass first?
Whoa,
I guess it's in your best interest, Kathy, to start making arrangements for her care. Whether you pass first or not, I'm getting that it's going to be in your best interest and her best interest to do that.
Okay. You know, she's still living on her own, cooking for herself. She's blessed. But
I would agree, by the way, with Julie, Kathy, not from a psychic perspective, but just a real world perspective, that if you know you've got the ducks in a row and there is someone there in the event, that's going to be a weight off your shoulders, so you won't worry about it.
Very true.
All right. Good luck to you. Thank you, Kathy.
Go ahead, Julie.
One other quick thing, too, Kathy. If anybody listening that would like a free digital and audiobook download of my book, and Kathy, I believe it will help you, just go to AskJulieRyan.com, click on the Ask Julie button, say, hey, I heard you on Raleigh's show, I'd love a copy of your book, and we'll send it to you for free as a gift.
Yeah, so just fill out the form, and I'll have links to it as well. So good deal, Kathy, and hope to talk to you longer next time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And Julie, I can't thank you enough, and here I am roping you into doing it again. So is it a date?
Absolutely.
All right, thanks. And Julie Ryan, AskJulieRyan.com. I will have all the links up. And again, apologies to Stephanie, Leah, and Ruth. But, I'll be happy to talk to you. I've got absolutely the psychic ability of a stone. However, we've got 2 hours to spend together, and I think we'll have a good time. Coming up on WGN Radio.